Wednesday nights, kind of going a little different direction than Sundays. Sundays we're talking about, of course, moving into our wealthy place. And on Wednesday, I began last week what I'm calling the art of prayer. I believe every Christian ought to be a prayer tactician. Now, y'all got to say amen, you know, a few times tonight. I believe that every Christian is called to pray. You know, Jesus gave us a command. He said that when you pray, He didn't say if you pray. He said when you pray. And so we're learning to pinpoint our prayers. Last week, we began to look at what the New Testament has to say about prayer. And we're just going through and looking at the Scriptures. I've found at least 147 references using the word prayer or prayed or prayer or praying. I've found that many times in the New Testament. There may be more, that's talking about prayer, but at least though that many. And we talked about there were two categories of prayer. One is where we pray to the Lord. Now, we always pray to the Lord. We always pray to God, but sometimes our prayers are directed towards God. And the other category that we talked about, and that's where we're at, is talking about how we pray over people. Sometimes you'll see the word pray for people, but really we're talking about praying over people, okay? And we said that successful prayer is prayer that is answered. How many of you want your prayers answered? And so as we learn to grow, we learn to grow up spiritually, we learn to be more accurate, just like you learn, you know, the English language or the Spanish language, you know, the more you use it, the more proficient you should come at it. I've been doing it for a lot of years and I still can't speak it good. So I'm just telling you that we want to learn scriptural-based prayers so that our prayers will be targeted, hit that target, and we receive the answers to them. Now, I started looking at 10 areas, going back through the New Testament here, of areas where we pray over people. And last week we got to 5 of them. We said, first of all, we are to pray for the world. You might want to write these down, or those that made notes, this is where we're at. We said that we are to pray. That's what the Bible commands us in 1 Timothy, that we are to pray for the world, okay? We're to pray for every man. Talking about lost people. How many know everybody in this world needs a relationship with Jesus Christ? The second thing is we said that we're commanded to pray over rulers and those in authority. Anybody with any authority in this earth or any kind of leadership responsibilities, whether it be government or so on and so forth, we're commanded to pray for those. Thirdly, we said we are to pray over our enemies. Jesus said that we're to pray for our enemies and to pray for those that despitefully use us. How many are learning to do that? We are, fourthly, to pray for the sick. And then fifth, we are to pray for ourselves. And we said the main way that we pray for ourselves is by praying in the Holy Spirit. We need to learn to pray more in the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit knows all the mysteries, knows all the secret things of God. There's nothing secret to God, but the things of God are secret until He reveals them to us. And so if you'll spend more time praying in the Spirit than you do praying in your native language, you're going to find out that you're going to have revealed to you more things about God and God's plan for your life. Everybody in here needs to find out what the will of God is for their life. And the way that you're going to do that the best is by praying a lot in the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, same thing, just different spelling. Amen? And then I want you to turn to Romans chapter 10. We'll pick up on number 6. We'll try to cover the other 5 here tonight in the time that we have remaining. And all these things are powerful and they're important because Jesus said that when we pray, we can expect, number 1, a reward. In other words, when we pray like we're supposed to pray, we can expect the answer. But also, here's something else that's important. Not only will we receive the reward, but he said it would be an open reward. So that tells me that not only will he manifest in our life, but he will manifest the answers of those prayers on our behalf for the world to see that God honors our prayers. You know, it's one thing to know that God honors my prayer and God answers my prayer. But it's another thing as a witness when you can tell somebody else, yeah, God answered my prayer, and they can physically see the manifestation of that answer. Are you here? Okay. And here's the sixth one. In Romans chapter 10, we are to pray for nations. Now look what it says. It says, brethren, I'm in verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel. Everybody say Israel. Now Israel is a nation. A nation is comprised of a group of people, a nationality. And it says, we are to pray for Israel that they may be saved. And you can read on there. We're not going to really study this out here, but he's just talking about how to pray for them, because he said, I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Now, we could put that in a descriptive category for a lot of people. Most everybody say they know God, but they don't know God according to the knowledge of God. And so he says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Well, we understand and we know as Christians, and we don't try to be arrogant about this, and we don't try to be dominant about this, but we know there's only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. There's only one way to be saved, and that's receiving Jesus into our heart and into our life. It's good to pray to God, but we need to know who we're praying to God to. And so these are the way we're to pray. We are to pray for not only, I believe, the nation of Israel, but we are to pray for nations. Now, when we pray for the world, we're talking about the people of the world. But, you know, there's nations that will make a difference in the outcome of things that will happen in this world. Again, let me remind you that God does what somebody with authority in him speaks forth in this earth. God honors authority. God moves because somebody of faith asks him to move. And so when we start talking about, for example, praying for nations, how many know it'd be a very good idea to pray for our own country? Pray for America, because America is very, very important in the last day things that are going to happen according to the Bible. We don't have a lot of information about America in the Bible, nothing specific or no scriptures that we can just point to as reference. But listen to me. We realize that God has selected this nation, even in its weakened state, even though we cannot really say America is no longer a Christian nation, there is a core, there is a group, there is a remnant of Christians in this nation that still humble themselves before God and fear God and believe that they can turn heaven and earth by praying to God. Are you with me? And I'm one of them, and I hope you're one of them too. But I'm trying to make a point to you is that there is no other country in this world that does more for propagating or getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out than America does. Hallelujah. Even in a downturn economy, we still supply more financial help and aid to the world than any other nation. The nation of America still sends more missionaries all over the world in compared to all the other nations put together. Are you listening to me? So it is a strategic, if you will, end time or last day nation that God has raised up, I believe, for the primary purpose of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, again, we have to believe and we have to stand on God's word, because You know, we're not immune to the attacks of the devil. If we get away from God, then God will get away from us. That's why we have to continue to pray, because we see every time that our elected people, our judges and our elected officials, every time they rule something out of God or God out of something, we see a decay and decline begin to happen in those areas of our nation. Can I hear a better amen? All right, so pray for nations. That's number six. And then number seven, if you'll turn over to the book of James, chapter 1, right after the book of Hebrews. And number seven is that we pray. Now, we're talking about praying over or for people, okay? When we talk about nations, we talk about the world, we talk about rulers, we talk about authority and so on and so forth for the sick. So now we're talking about praying for answers, praying for specific problems that we need answers to. Now, when we need answers, sometimes we seek other ways or other means or other knowledge. The Bible teaches us that there is the knowledge of man and there's the knowledge of God. How many know that the knowledge of God surpasses the knowledge of man? God's the one that give man any knowledge that he does have. So, what we're talking about here is what James 1:5 says, is if any of you lack wisdom, what does it say? It says, let him ask or let him pray of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. So when we are in a tribulation or in a trial, if you go back and read the first part of the book of James, he talks and he's talking about people that are going through various trials. He's talking about those that are going through temptations and so on and so forth. So he's talking to people that need answers for situations in life. And how many know when we need answers for things, it'd be a good thing to seek God first. It'd be a good thing, you know, when we get away from God, to get back on track with God and find out what the will of God is. Because whenever we start heading down the wrong track, how many know if we don't make correction on the track, we're going to get further and further away from God. And God has a solution. God has the wisdom. We're talking about the wisdom that gives us really a understanding of how everything should work. In James 5:16, we'll just keep going over there, because he's telling us some things that when we have faults, we're to confess those faults one to another. Look what it says in James 5:16. He says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The word there, effective, is the word energio, or we get energy, but really it means effective prayer or efficient prayer or active prayer. The Amplified Bible says in verse 16, it says, a prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in his working. So when we pray this way, we're producing power. We're producing the God kind of power. And how many know, the more we know about God, the more we can act like God. The more that we know about God, the more that we could act like God would act in situations and things that happen to us in everyday life. So we need to pray, if you will, over the things that we are facing, the things that we're going through, and believe God for the answer. Amen? All right. And then I want you to turn to the book of Acts. We need to pray over people. And let me define this a little bit different, because all these are coming from a little different way that we pray. And I would urge you to, you know, write down the scriptures, meditate on these things that we're saying. Look at Acts chapter 13, because as we said a while ago, everybody who calls himself a Christian, who has been saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, you should be filled with the Holy Spirit, amen? Yeah. Well, every Christian has been called by God for a holy and a divine purpose. God doesn't save anyone and not give them purpose. In order to find our purpose, well, we can pray. Look what it says in Acts chapter 13 here. Look at verse 1, 2, 3. It says, "Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Mahan, and who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And, look, as they ministered," or as they served in or to the Lord, "and they fasted," it said, "the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work in which I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away." Now, it's important here. Let me stop because, you know, the Bible teaches us that we're not to lay hands on any man suddenly. Now, we're not talking about laying hands and praying for sick. Now, we're talking about discerning the Holy Spirit and, if you will, activating or launching a certain person or an individual into a ministry. There's a lot of people who call themselves into ministry that are not called of God. And the last thing you want to be doing is out there doing something in a ministry that you were not called of God to do. Because, as we said last week, you can get papers and you can get cards and you can get certificates, you can buy them on the internet, but you cannot buy the anointing. And what will succeed is what is of God. Whatever is of God will stand. So we have to be very, if you will, cautious when we begin to lay hands on somebody to commission them into a purpose or a call of God. But nevertheless, we need to pray, because everybody in here, one of the things that we pray, one of the things that I pray, is that everybody in this church, everybody, doesn't matter how long you've been saved, how much you know about the Word of God, but that you find your call, that you find your purpose. Because let me tell you something. If you just observe, you will find out that people that do not get connected, they do not get connected to church, and they do not get connected to the pastor, they do not get connected to the vision, those people will eventually fade away. Because they never feel like they're accomplishing, they never feel like they're plugged in, and they will soon become disheartened. So I know that if God has brought you in here, God has given you a purpose. God has given you a calling. And I pray for that, and you need to pray for that, so that God will reveal that to you so you can plug in and be connected to what God has called you to do. Because, you know, listen, life again has a way of passing by, and all of a sudden you're dealing with those things that you deal with in everyday life. How many know that just everyday life can be a drag? How many know that just facing all the demons and all the struggles and all the things that you face out there can be a draw on you? But all of those things are designed by the enemy, designed by the devil, to take you out of the will of God, to take you out of the race of God. And so if we're not careful, see, we will dishearten our own self. Our heart will become like we were talking on Sunday. Our hearts will stay small. They won't be enlarged. They won't expand. And so we don't grow in the grace of God, and we never step out and we never launch into the ministry. But I just say this again to you. Notice that these two guys, and one of them we know is very famous, the Apostle Paul, they were in church. They were ministering. They were just serving in the church. And through the prayer and through the fasting and the laying on of hands, they were commissioned to go out into the ministry that God called them to. Are you with me? And then number 9, go on over to the book of Colossians chapter 1. Are y'all here? Okay, we're talking about the ways that we pray over our four people. Well, number 9, we need to pray for the church. Now, let me remind you that the church, again, is not a building. It's not four walls here. You know, this is a physical plant. This is where we come and we assemble ourselves together And we expect God to minister to us. We expect to worship God in the manifestation of the presence of God and all the things that happen inside the church building. But when we're talking about the church, we're talking about praying for the church. Not just our church, but the church, the body of Christ, okay? How many of you believe that the church needs to be prayed for? See, when you become efficient, when you become proficient in prayer, that's why I'm going through these things kind of slow and step by step, and you should be writing these things down somewhere where you have ability to look back to these things, because when you become proficient as a Christian and a prayer warrior, which every one of you should be at some point, then you will incorporate these 10 things into your prayer life. Amen. You will not have trouble praying for a length of time if you incorporate the things that you need to pray for. It's when you don't know how to pray is when it becomes boring. When you don't know how to pray for the proper things that you need to pray for and all you can think of is, Lord, help me, I'm in trouble. You know, you're going to say that prayer a lot of times, but you're going to get tired of saying that prayer. Are you with me? So we got to get out of selfish mode and get into prayer warrior mode, because the scripture is true when it says when we water others, we will be watered ourselves. Amen. I always find out when you refresh others and you're praying for others and you're serving others, it's just like God takes care of your business. Amen. I said, we have to get to a place where we understand the importance of our prayer, because God said that He would reward us for praying. Man, that's great, isn't it? And not only will He reward us, but He'll manifest that so others can see it. All right, so praying for the church. Let's look what and see what it says here. Paul has given us an example. We'll look at a couple here, time permits. Colossians chapter 1, let's just read verse 3. It says, we give thanks to God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Now, let me stop there. Why should we always be praying for the church? Well, it's very obvious to me. One of the reasons, and probably the predominant or the most important reason, is because the church is always under attack. Who's out there trying to destroy the church? Who's out there trying to stop the spread of the gospel, our souls being won to Jesus? Who's trying to stop the progress of the church? The devil never sleeps or slumbers either. So if we slack off and we don't pray, how many know the devil is going to get in, and he can get into anything? Amen. All right. So we're to pray always for the church. And Paul says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Now, that's one area. And then here's the other area. Go over to Ephesians. Let me get this one in for you, because I think Paul gives almost a perfect example, if you will, if there is such a thing, a perfect prayer of how to pray for the church. And by the way, you know, the best way to pray is to get into your Bible and find out where the prayers are. Amen. And pray those and plug those things into your particular set of applications, okay? Now let's look here, because Ephesians chapter 1, the church needs prayer because it is the instrument to carry out the will of God. Amen? Look at verse 16. Ephesians 1, verse 16. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you. He said a while ago in Colossians where he's always thanking God for you. You know why? Because when you get right, you're going to do right. And when you do right, you're going to fulfill the plan of God. Not only for your life, but you're going to be an instrument to bring it to pass for others. That's why it's important that we get right. That we get healed. That we get made whole. Amen? So that we are effective in our witness. We are effective in our testimony. We are effective in our prayers. He said, let's read on here. He says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith, well, let me go back to verse 16. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you. Now look at this. The spirit of wisdom. What is Paul praying for the church? He's praying that God would give you the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, and the spirit of knowledge. Now, why is this important? I've already talked to you a little bit about wisdom, because wisdom begins to open up, if you will, life's issues and begins to show us solutions to our problems. Revelation is when the Spirit of God opens our eyes and reveals things to us by the Spirit that we could not otherwise see or know. We need revelation in order to see what God wants us to see. That's why somebody can sit in church or somebody can read their Bible and they can't see what others are seeing, because it has to come through revelation. Well, we're to pray for the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation and the spirit of knowledge. The wisdom is the ability to use the knowledge, to put it all together. And the understanding comes when we have the skill and apply that to our ability so that we can be successful again in what we are attempting to do. Are you following me? Okay. So these are the ways that we pray. It says in verse 18, he said that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, or in other words, the light's turned on and you can see, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. You got to know what the hope of His calling is before you're going to know what the hope of your calling is. You got to know what He's here for and what He came for so that you can know what you're here for. Okay? It says, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance? Look where it is. Look where it is. In the saints. Are you looking at your Bible? Where is His inheritance? It's in us. Look at that. It's in us. That's what it's telling us. It's in me. And Paul is saying that I pray for the church. I cease not making, giving prayers for the church so that they can have a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of knowledge and a spirit of understanding, that they may know the hope of His calling and that they might have an enlightenment to the fact that the inheritance of Jesus Christ is on the inside of them. Amen. See, not all the church knows that. They know it in theory. They know it because somebody spoke the words, but they don't have a revelation of what that means. If you go back to verse 3, what does he say? He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with how many spiritual blessings? Okay, so all those spiritual blessings are on the inside of you. So why would you be praying for another spiritual blessing when they're all inside of you? Now the problem is you don't have a revelation of them and you're not utilizing them. They've got to stay in the incubator. They got to stay in your spiritual uterus until they birth, if you will, what God has spoken into His Word, what God has spoken by His Word to come to pass in your life. Well, he said, not only are we to be blessed with all spiritual blessings, but he said, in the heavenly places, but that word is really things, in the heavenly things in Christ. Look at verse 11, just for time's sake. I don't have time to read the whole chapter because we're not teaching, but I wanted to show you how we can pray and the reason we pray for the church. It says, in Him we have obtained an inheritance. When did we obtain the inheritance? When did we obtain the inheritance in Him? The moment we received Him inside of us. Now, what does it say? It says, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. We know that God has a will, but we also know that God's will is not automatic. God's will is not automatic, even though, just like, for example, it's the will of God, the Bible tells us, it's the will of God that all men be saved. But not all men are being saved. In other words, what limits God is God's own words. God limits himself because God has a system. And when we learn how to operate in the system of God, then we will not limit God in our life. Okay, those are important things, but you've got to get a revelation. That's why we have to pray, okay? That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Or in other words, God put His Spirit in you, and the reason He put His Spirit in you is that is the down payment, or the first payment, if you will, of the reality of Christ in you, the hope of glory, He says, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. See, when I got saved, the Holy Spirit came into me. Well, that's God's way of saying, okay, here's the earnest money, here's the down payment, here's my guarantee, okay? Because when you leave this earth, or I come for you, you are going to get a glorified body. You're going to get a body just like Jesus. That's what the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 15, right? And how many know right now we don't have a glorified body? We're not redeemed yet in this flesh. That's why the flesh is frail. That's why the flesh is weak. But I tell you what, we're going to get a glorified one just like Jesus. Amen? And we've already been given the assurity. We've already been given the guarantee by God. If you can believe anything that God says, you can believe what He said in His Word. And we have to get that revelation. We have to pray for the church to receive that. And you read on. Let's go on down here and read because of time's sake here. He said that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, verse 18 again, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. So the inheritance is in you. Say, the inheritance is in me. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. What kind of power are we talking about? We're talking about Holy Ghost power. We're talking about the power that raised Jesus out of the clutches of hell and the devil when He died on the cross, and they took Him into the center of this earth and they kept Him there captive, but God raised Him from the dead. Okay? That's what He's saying. We have to get a revelation of that. We have to get understanding on that, and we have to get knowledge of that. It says, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places. Well, where is Jesus today? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Well, what do we have on the inside of us? We have the same power that Jesus had when He was in this earth. We have the same power that raised Him out of the grass and out of the clutches of Satan and all the demonic powers. Look what it says. And far above. Say far above. See, all principalities and power. That's all of them. There, you just name a power. You just name a principality. Just name a sickness. Name cancer. Name any disease. Jesus has a name that is greater than any name. Jesus has more power than any other power or force in this universe. Praise God. I'm getting excited. Are you excited about prayer? See, you'd come to prayer if you got excited about prayer and really knew how to pray. Look what it says. It says, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name, say every name, that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age which is to come. And you've read the rest of that before, and you know that He has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church. And He talks about the body is fulfilling that plan of God in the earth. So that's number 9. Are you ready for number 10? So we can finish here. All right, go over with me to the book of 2 Thessalonians. So we are to pray for the church. And now look what it says here. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, what's the first word? I'm waiting for you to get there. What's the first word?
Finally.
Say finally. Now, how many know you don't start a teaching with finally? So really, you almost have to go back and go through the other two chapters there to find out what he's saying. But after he's admonished and all these things and taught, he's saying, now look, he's saying, finally, brethren, pray for us. Now here's number 10. Get this one. Number 10 is that you pray over, you pray for your minister. When he talks about us, he was talking about pray for him. Pray for those that minister. Pray for your pastor. How many of you pray for your pastor? How many know you should pray for your pastor? How many know you better pray for your pastor? Now why? Now why? Because see, when you have understanding, then you have compulsion to do it. You have energy to do it. You have the gumption to do it. You have the fortitude to do it. And you're not going to let the devil stop you.
Amen.
Okay? He said, you pray for us, now look at this, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you. Now look, we're talking about the 10 categories here of how we pray over people. The 10th one is that we pray over our ministers. We pray for our pastor. We pray for those that minister to us. Because why? Because, again, Satan is always attacking ministers. Satan is always after ministers. And he's most certainly after pastors.
Amen.
Because if he can get the head, he can kill the body.
Hallelujah.
If he can get the... I can't tell you, you know, how, you know, I hear stories almost every week where pastors just decide one day not to show up anymore. They just can't take it. Have you ever heard of that? I've heard of it. I heard one this week. And I hear that a lot, okay? We have to, just like we pray for the church, we have to pray for the minister, because Satan does not want the word of the Lord to be able to run freely. I don't know what version of the Bible you have. I'm reading out of the New King James. The King James says free course, but the word run is a little more accurate description, because it is a picture, if you will, or a description of an athlete running a race. See, you need to pray for the minister that the word will have free course, or it will run swiftly with accuracy, with energy, with boldness, with clarity. Because, let me just stop and insert this to you. Most congregational people, and I don't even want to put you in this category, but I just need to tell you this. Most people that come to church come like it was a movie. How many of you have ever been to a movie? You know, you come and you sit down and you expect to see something, maybe even be entertained. But let me tell you something. Church is supposed to be and is designed by God to be a participant event. A lot of times people sit out there and they say, they roast the pastor instead of pray for the pastor. Well, he's off today. He's way off. But you see, what you have to understand is that you have to come and you have a role or a part in this. If you don't pray, then you're not going to have the expectation and you are not going to have the faith to believe God for what He wants to do in your life. This is why that you need to get here for praise and worship. So many people skip out on praise and worship. They don't understand. They think, well, you know why I deserve to be late. No, you don't. Well, let me tell you something else. You ought to come to pre-prayer. How many of you know we have corporate prayer on Monday night? Now, I'm not getting after it. I'm just telling you that a lot of the congregation does not participate in the church. And so they don't receive. They want to blame the church or the pastor, but what are they doing? What are they doing? See, if you don't come and pray for the word to run smoothly and swiftly, obviously, listen to me, obviously, the enemy can keep the word from running smoothly. Amen. Or we wouldn't be commanded to pray for it. Amen. How many of you have spent any time? Now don't raise your hand and don't feel guilty. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm just trying to open your eyes here because there's times that people don't get anything out of the service. Remember, I've talked and I told you about maybe it's because their hearts are not large or enlarged. But you know, sometime it could be the pastor. Maybe he's not focused. Maybe he's not dedicated that day. Or maybe he didn't pray enough. Maybe he didn't study. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. More than often, it's not the pastor. Amen. I just don't get it, Pastor. Well, did you pray? See, because obviously the devil can intercept the word of God from going forth into the hearts of people. He said that the word may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered. Look at this, Paul saying that we may be delivered. This is the great apostle Paul who cast out demons, who raised people from the dead, who him own self raised from the dead. He said that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For not all men have faith. So, what's he saying again? He's saying, first of all, pray for your minister. Pray that he is focused. Pray that he is energized. Pray that he is discerning. Pray that he is accurate in his delivery. Pray for those things so that the word can run swiftly. Amen. That is being spoken. In other words, so it can be launched and so it can be received so that it can cross the finish line because it's under attack. Amen. And then secondly, he says, because there are wicked people out there that are trying to befall the pastor, who are trying to trip him up, who are trying to deceive him, who are trying to cheat him, who are trying to lie to him. Listen to me. Not all men have faith. Not everybody that says they're sweet and lovely are sweet and lovely. Some people have been sent by the devil to destroy the church, Amen. To destroy the minister. Amen. Now what happens if you don't pray?
I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what'll happen. You'll wind up, you know, like I had a lady call me and says, I don't understand. I don't understand. Our pastor didn't come back, and I have my eyes on the pastor, and he let us down. Well, my first thing is, why you got your eyes on the pastor? Pray for the pastor, amen? You going to follow the pastor to hell if he sins and messes up? No. I'm just saying, look. You have a very vital part, a very vital role in the church. And that's to pray for your
minister
so that there's no hindrances. So that the wicked and evil people that are out there that could care less about church, they could care less about destroying your church. Just give us a nice, comfortable place if we need to have a wedding or a funeral, but we could care less how you maintain it in between. Now, I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. Somebody has got to be responsible to maintain the physical. Are you here? And so, obviously, Paul said, you need to pray for these things. You need to pray because, again, there is God's system and the system of the kingdom of God, which we belong. Okay, but we're still in the world, even though we're not of the world. How are you going to do the greater things or the greater works if you don't have knowledge and understanding of God and what God has commanded us to do? So it's about yourselves learning to pray the prayer of faith, but pray over these things that I have given to you over people. Why is it that we have corporate prayer? Why do we have pre-prayer service? So that the Word of God can go forth freely and hit the mark. Are you here? Let me give them to you again. Now, one more time. So you can have all these 10 together, okay? So not only should we pray for the church, but we should pray for the minister of the church, okay? We pray, here they are, I'll give you all 10 of them right quick. We pray for all men of the world. We pray for leaders and rulers. We pray, number 3, for our enemies. We pray for the sick. Everybody in here probably knows at least one person that's sick. Amen. Got something wrong, infirmity, so on and so forth. We pray for ourselves. Why? Because we need ourselves whole so we can be good for something else. We pray for our nations. We pray for answers. God has all the answers, right? That cannot be a cliche. We know God has the answers. The question is, do you have them? We pray over people for calling and ministry. Why? Because everybody who calls their name by their name a Christian has a calling, has a ministry. I know some of you don't believe it, but you do. We pray for the church, and we pray for the minister of the church. Because the enemy is constantly trying to attack. He's constantly, just like he's constantly attacking you. What happens if you don't pray in your home? What happens if you don't pray in your family? What happens if you just come to church every now and then, but you never pray? See, you're going to be weak, and you're not going to be full of faith, and you're not going to grow in the things that God wants you to grow. And so I give you those things not just so you can think about them, but so you can utilize them in your arsenal of weapons that God has given to you and I. Next week, we'll look at the 9 basic rules of prayer, because I believe there's rules to prayer. Just like there's rules to the sport of baseball, there's rules to the sport of basketball, football. How many know you don't play football with basketball rules? You don't play with the same amount of people and so on and so forth. The same kind of referees and umpires. So everything that you and I do, we need to learn to do it with excellence and accuracy. Are y'all here tonight?
Amen.
Are y'all okay?
Yes.
Okay, let's all stand up on our feet.